This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears up!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. And of course, we have an amazing one, mainly because the man behind SpectroRadio.us is here. Yes, it is Spectro Magic, Spectro Time, Spectro Time Time, I guess, on Ears Up with Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome back to the show.
Oh my God.
Back?
You all right?
Forward and the plug came out of the bottom of my microphone. So thank you for... Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm glad to be back. I don't think I've done a SpectroTime segment in 2021.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think this is a new one.
Was the last one Christmas?
It might have been.
Wow, yes. That long ago?
Yeah, you're slacking, Jer.
Holy
you're slacking.
Moly.
I'm slacking. This is my 37th SpectroTime.
Wow. Are we going to do something for your 40th? Like scream real loud?
Yeah, we'll do something. Right. Yeah, my 36th one was Disneyland Christmas Spectacular.
Oh, wow. Good grief.
Yeah. Wow. Well, welcome back.
We survived.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thanks.
We've survived because of the tiki room.
Alcohol.
So we do get to see Jeremy every once in a while.
That's right, yeah. Well, and I see him every other week.
That's
doing
true.
In-depth.
Right.
See him, too. I'm just not actually talking to him.
Right.
That's true, yeah.
Although, Jeremy, I will say, so you guys do that recording usually during Alice's dinner time. And so I'm sitting there with her, and I have my phone set up, and we're kind of watching you two do the show. And she loves you. She calls you Uncle Jeremy, and I think it's your laugh, because every time you laugh, she starts laughing. Like, she does this weird fake laugh, and I'm like, and she's like, Jeremy.
I wonder where she got that from.
Yeah, she's like, Jeremy, funny. And I'm like, yes. She absolutely loves you, so.
Wow. Poor thing. I mean, that she has to listen to that show every other week.
Jeremy's funny.
<She's> true.
I mean, it's basically, so what she does, she's just a mimic. So, like, basically when I'm done recording, the first thing I say when I come out is, Jeremy, funny.
Yeah.
And that's, Jeremy's right. Funny. Funny. Find us on social media, everybody, please. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. You know, it's a good way to figure out when the shows are going to be. Because Lord knows I'm really bad at posting the calendar for some reason. So in the Patreon, by the way, in case you didn't know that. You can send feedback on the show to Taryn at earsup-podcast.com. Show suggestions to Terrence at earsup-podcast.com. You can say hi.
Hi.
To Bev and anything else, me, Jason, earsup-podcast.com, blah, blah, blah. You guys, we talk about concierge. Everybody knows that that's the best way to get the Disney tickets. You don't go online. You don't wait online. You don't do that. You go to concierge if you want to go to the parks. But apparently now bookings for Disney cruises are going to start opening up on the 27th of this month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that includes the brand new ship, the Disney Wish, which is the ship that will start sailing to the Bahamas. In the summer of 2022. So next summer on the Disney Wish. And apparently this is like the biggest news in cruise line history or whatever. There's Frozen and Marvel themed restaurants, of course, with performances. a Carthay-style restaurant called 1923, which I guess is different than the 1923 Club in DCA, but whatever.
It's not 1923 Club.
Isn't it? 1901. Thank you. You're right.
So you're right. It is different.
It is different. Yeah. Okay, good. Perfect. All I want to know is that I'm right. You're I could right. be wrong in my assertion, but at least I'm right somehow. There's a Star Wars lounge with a viewport that features five different planets and 40 starships that will pass by during your stay. Instead of just like a normal water slide, you know, these big crazy cruise liners have just it's a water slide, the thing or whatever. Bev and I's cruise did not have a water slide.
It did not.
And I don't think I would have gone on it anyways because
it had a hot tub that was full of
pile
nasty.
Of filth. Yeah, for sure.
Bucket of
like
blood.
I'm actually yeah. very curious if anybody goes on the water slides.
I mean,
kids.
Yeah,
I tried to.
Oh, did you?
But the line was it's and on the cruise it's called the Aqua Duck.
Oh,
okay, I get it.
Or at least it. On the one I went on, I sailed on the Dream.
I was gonna actually say earlier, I was like, I guarantee the other boat is called Dream. If this one's called Wish, I was like, the other one must be Dream.
Or no, did I go on the Disney? Is the Disney Dream a boat?
It's got to be a boat.
I don't know. Why not?
I'm sure.
Wish,
the
yeah. Dream.
A Disney
Magic
boat.
Dream, fantasy.
Yeah, it's just
wonder.
A boat your heart makes. And that's really what we have to remember.
A boat is a boat your boat makes.
Yep. That's what it is, dude. The Aqua Mouse is the water slide. On the Disney
is it?
Wish, yes, it's called at least on the Disney Wish, it's called the Aqua Mouse.
Aqua Mouse.
It is a 760-foot long tube, and it will show scenes like so. Like inside, there's like I don't know what that means. Maybe it's like the diorama on the train. Who knows? Like you walk by, you slide by, and it's like
you're going
whatever.
So fast.
I know,
what
right?
Could you possibly see?
Maybe like overhead projection, like reverse projection thing. I don't know. Anyway,
sounds like puking.
Afterwards, you drop into a lazy river, okay. Which I think is
a lazy river.
What?
Yeah,
I think it's kind of amazing, honestly, because number one, they have a lazy river on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
That's
whatever.
Kind of sick.
Ironically, you can't swim in the ocean on the cruise liner. So that I find weird. But like also that's a great way to like to I think sort of eliminate the long line for the thing because make the lazy river part of the ride probably carries you to the other end of the ship.
Yeah.
And then you got to haul your ass back over there. The ship is designed with more staterooms than ever with exterior views. Bookings open up on May 27th. So if you're interested in doing that next summer, the Bahamas. Concierge.com, check them out, book your Disneyland tickets, your Disney World tickets, and now your Disney cruises with Concierge, please. Thank you. Do we have feedback?
We Karen? Do not. Not today.
I thought we did. I thought I sent you one.
Well, you're submitting feedback now?
Oh, maybe you did. But
this was not a feedback. See, I'm submitting feedback. It's basically the employee rankings now, so I need to give you guys your reviews,
oh,
and I prefer to just be open and upfront about it, everything. So we're going to start with Taryn.
Okay, great.
This was a comment on our Ranking Disneyland Restaurants show that I'm just taking as feedback. This person, Grant, comment. There was a wild opinion expressed in this episode, maligning bacon. I truthfully found this disturbing, but opinions are subjective. Objectively speaking, almost everything does, in fact, taste better with bacon. Wired and Food Network analyzed 50,000 recipes in 2013, showing conclusively that with the exception of desserts and pasta, recipes with bacon were overwhelmingly rated higher. Jason is entitled to his, quote, opinion, but we informed listeners know much better. That's 2013, Grant. You know, I'm sorry that you're living in the past, but the bacon wave is gone, baby.
It's not
you're
gone.
It's gone.
Wrong.
It's gone.
So wrong.
It's not
it's
gone.
Not gone.
Don't get me wrong. Bacon is good, but it doesn't need to be on everything, and it doesn't, in fact, make everything better.
So I have.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that.
Jeremy, you agreed
what?
With me, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, dude. That actually makes me feel real good inside.
It's
I already
everyone,
have a headache. Like, what people, is right now?
The problem with bacon is that people substitute liking bacon for having a personality. And that annoys me.
Man.
It's like there's other. It's just another food, guys. Just eat it. And shut up.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly how I feel about it. It's like, oh, bacon, because we were talking about the bacon wrapped asparagus or whatever. And it's like, if you're going to eat asparagus, just eat asparagus. Yeah, Be a human being about it.
But you're at Disneyland. You can't just sell asparagus.
Asparagus.
But inherently, well, yeah, that's my point. But inherently, like, whenever you wrap things with bacon, the bacon that's around that thing isn't bacon. It's overly salty ham because it doesn't get crispy. Crispy bacon is the only way to eat bacon. If you can flap it like a piece of paper, then it's not really bacon. It's just salted pork.
I like my bacon to have a little movement. I don't like to bite into it and to have it like crumble.
A little movement is fine, but there needs to be a crunch. If you wrap
stuff
with it. I
like the whole spectrum.
Yeah, well, sorry about that. Yeah, anyway, so thank you, Grant, for commenting on the show. I really appreciate it. And
I'm actually shocked mostly that you and Jeremy agreed on something.
I know. I like it. I think it's a new trend.
It's a new trend.
Yeah. I think that'd be amazing.
The thing about trends is that they're short lived. That's why they're called trends.
Yeah. Like bacon wrapped everything. Thank you, Bev.
I don't think that's a trend.
No. Yeah. I do hear your mic moving now.
Okay. I can mute it.
That's all right. If you want to support the show, go to Etsy.com/shop/Coveyors and buy some shirts. We have the new Fantasyland shirt that's done up like the Tomorrowland logo, and then the Tomorrowland logo that's done up like the Adventureland logo. And
it's irony at its best.
It really is, man. Like I sell cool shirts to cool people. So if you want to be cool, check that out. I'm also working on a new Mai Tai glass.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I probably wasn't going to announce it on the show, but I just did because my brain doesn't work. So I've been sort of like dropping these little hints on the Instagram stories. New Mai Tai glass coming this summer, and it's going to be I'm trying to figure out how many to order. I don't know how many to order. I thought about keeping them in stock, but I'm still going to do a pre-order. I'm still working out all the details. It just depends on how much money we have to like give the glass people. I just don't know.
Well, how many units did you sell of the other glasses?
I'm not going to tell you on the air, Jeremy. This is a very close secret. We sold out.
Well, whatever that number is, I think you could probably match that.
I think so, too. And I think it will do better because last time's was Christmas themed. This is not a theme. It's just a glass. So you can use it anytime.
That is one of my favorite glasses, too.
Mine, too. That's my wine glass. I drink wine out of that glass. Mai Tai glass.
It's not my wine glass, but
it should be.
it's my go-to mixed drink glass for sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. And it would just be like I would just keep them in stock, I guess, and whatever. So I don't know. I might double up. But we did sell out last time, which was good, which was very nice. I felt very good. That was definitely a step out on the comfort zone ledge for me, having to fork out all that dough. But anyway, I think you guys are gonna love them. I'm working with Matt Tedish again. He designed the Christmas ones, and he's done a lot of stuff for us. So working on this, and I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted. Of course, I'm going to drop it on Patreon first. I'll drop the design on Patreon. I'll drop the pre-order link on Patreon. So if you want to get first dibs at that, because even at a pre-order, there is a limited amount I'm willing to to order. So if you want to get the best deal, pre-order will be a little bit lower price than like a normal price. So anyway, I'm working at the pricing now, but if you want all the details, pay attention to Patreon. Speaking of that, go to patreon.com/earsup, sign up to be a Patreon supporter. $2 a month, that's the minimum. You go to $5 a month, secret show, 12, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Levels.
All good stuff. You get all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's mostly good stuff. yeah, go ahead.
Is there a new churro shirt?
There is, yeah, it's my new hypocritical... churro shirt.
Oh.
And it was one of those dumb things I needed to get it out of my brain, and it exists somewhere, so I'll probably pull it in a couple days because no one cares. I just wanted one so I can order it for myself, but it's like the Supreme logo. I thought it'd be really funny, and I'm actually surprised I haven't seen that.
Like, I like it.
I googled it and nobody's done it before, but there's a lot of Mickey and Minnie in the Supreme logo, and I'm like, cool, let's be really on the nose and just write Disneyland on it.
There you go.
Podcast.
Yeah. Human. But yes, I understand it's very, very hypocritical, but I don't care. It's cool when I do it, but it's really annoying when everybody else does it. Anyway, go buy some t-shirts, please. I would beg of you. I beg of you to buy t-shirts.
Moon Boots IPA is the latest 21st Amendment beer release. A West Coast IPA brewed with strawberries and loaded with Azaka, Citra Cryo, and Mosaic hops. Moon Boots IPA was designed and brewed by an all-woman team at 21st Amendment Brewery and in partnership with the Pink Boots Society, advocating for the advancement of women in the beverage industry. The label for Moon Boots IPA features the beer's creators envisioned as otherworldly beings and was commissioned by renowned Los Angeles-based animation artist Robin Eisenberg. Moon Boots IPA is a very limited release and available across the country at your favorite good beer shop, where 21st Amendment beer is sold.
Bev, do you think I can get Sam to write music for me?
Probably.
Yeah.
Like not lyric or
just
music?
Yeah, yeah, for like ads and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, would I have to pay him?
Probably not.
Oh, even better. I love it. I love it. All right, Jeremy, let's bring you on.
As we unravel the magic behind some of Disney's most beloved pieces of music, it's Spectro time.
This magic night, a million stars will play beside us, cast a spell of light, glimmering, shimmering, carouseling round the world tonight.
Spectro time. With my close friend,
it is about
Jeremy.
Time.
It is about time.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about the Jungle Cruise and its music.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's so why you have the Jungle Cruise background.
It is.
I get it now.
Yeah, welcome, Taryn. She's like, I don't understand this guy. What's going on?
I mean, it was cool looking, but now I get it.
No, well,
that was a very last minute change.
I love it.
I was like, I got to do something. The Jungle Cruise was an opening day attraction at Disneyland when it opened back in July of 1955. By now, we're all pretty much, we know that Walt had originally intended this attraction to contain real animals as guests sailed past them in riverboats along various exotic rivers of the world.
That's right. I forget that. That's a fact I forget constantly. And every time someone reminds me, like right now, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. What a wild ass thing that would have been. Yeah. Do you think it would have changed by now?
Yes.
Taking the animals, like if they were like, look, let's do the animals, let's do the thing. Do you think it would have changed by now? Like taking the animals out?
I feel like it would have changed after the very first mauling.
Yeah. Like there was no way to keep that contained, I don't think.
All right.
I mean, you have something along those lines now at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, but so you have a ton of
out
room.
How to show you what?
You have a ton of room over there, though, to do it.
Right.
Like in that little.
No, it wouldn't work. It doesn't work in you know, right behind Main Street. But the concept has figured a way into existence.
Yeah. 150 yards away from the parking lot.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, walking down Main Street and, like, actually hearing, like,
like a real lion roar or whatever. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Or like a real monkey. No.
Yeah, or an elephant.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or a dead zebra. I mean, the lions have to eat the zebra over and over again.
That's feeding time.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Well, it became quickly obvious that for the integrity of the show, audio animatronics would need to be used. Animals couldn't be relied upon to show up and provide a consistent experience. We also know that in its initial years at Disneyland, the tone of the Jungle Cruise was much more serious, the result of Walt's obsession with authenticity. He wanted guests to feel as though they had really been transported to these various exotic regions and interacted with their wildlife and, in some cases, their native peoples. Until the 1960s, in fact, the script of the Jungle Cruise skippers contained no jokes and sounded more like the narration to a nature film or documentary.
Yeah, like now.
What?
Contains no jokes, like now.
I love the jokes.
Most people do.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
In what is likely the very first release of an attraction ride-through, in 1968, Disneyland Records released an album featuring the full soundtrack of the Enchanted Tiki Room on vinyl. And on its flip side was the soundtrack to something called The Adventurous Jungle Cruise.
Hmm.
Well, you need a Jungle Cruise skipper for a Jungle Cruise attraction ride through. So Disney looked no further than the talents of Thurl Ravenscroft to act as your Jungle Cruise skipper. Take a listen, number one.
Welcome aboard the Jungle Cruise. I'll be your skipper and guide down the rivers of adventure. You know, we always turn and take a last good look at the dock and wave goodbye because we may never see it again. We're approaching beautiful Schweitzer Falls, named after the famous Dr. Albert Schweitzer.
He sounded sort of drunk. We may never see it again.
Well, how do we know who Thurl Ravenscroft is? What else has he done, Jason, or anyone?
Oh, he's Haunted Mansion boy, for sure.
Correct.
Grim Grinning Ghosts, I believe.
He was Uncle Theodore. Whoever that's the official name of whoever he was.
Oh, I thought he was the... Oh, he's one of the busts, right?
Yes.
Okay, right. Okay, Uncle. Yeah, that makes sense. He was Tony the Tiger, which you could sort of hear in the laugh.
Isn't he the...
You know what I mean? From Frosted Flakes?
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't he the narrator for...
He was great at that.
For Haunted Mansion or no? Do I have that?
No.
Right? No. I can't remember who the narrator is.
I think it was Jeremy Murray. Fritz.
What did you say?
I said I think it was Jeremy Murray. A guy called Jeremy Murray was the narrator for the Haunted Mansion.
He was Fritz in the Enchanted Tiki Room also.
Ah, that's right. Oh. Okay. All right.
So he's got a long list of accomplishments.
Yeah.
Of course, we know that while we Jungle Cruise guests are winding our way down these adventurous rivers, there is no music. But for the release of the soundtrack, Disney needed something to back Thurl Ravenscroft's skipper performance, or the release would have been a bit boring. Well, no worries. Tutti Camerata to the rescue with his haunting music that he both composed and conducted for the album, number two.
That's my vibe right there. That is 100% my vibe. And it was also very burlesque.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like.
Well, you are very burlesque.
Betty. Is that a compliment? I don't know. play me a warbling trumpet and I will take my shirt off. Let's go.
And the first part sounded like a silent movie.
Very
like,
dramatic.
It sounded dramatic. Like yeah. Gone, like the overture from Gone with the Wind.
Oh,
to me.
Right. Well, a 2D Camerata, he's a very famous and accomplished musician. He graduated from Juilliard, and he was no stranger to Disney. He was an integral part of Disneyland Records. In fact, Walt hired him to start the Disneyland Records label. And in his 16 years with Disneyland Records, he produced over 300 different albums, but he did compose and conduct that and several others. He was really passionate about classical music and having children be interested in classical music. So a lot of the albums that he released through Disneyland Records were sort of trying to popularize classical pieces for kids.
Okay.
That's cool. Love
so it. That's Tootie.
Love it.
We like him.
We also, do.
What a name.
Tootie.
Yeah, I think that's a nickname. I think but he eventually really went by it. I think his name, his proper name is maybe Salvador.
Salvatore, yeah.
Okay.
I just looked it up, yeah, because I'm okay, you can't be writing that music. I mean, it makes sense, like in that 50s, 60s sort of lounge, vibey, you know, cheesecake sort of era. This man has to have some album that he worked on that I could buy.
Oh.
For my tiki room, right? I don't know. Just,
so you were shopping.
I'm shopping, yeah, basically, yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
And where was I? Okay. I don't know, man. Outside of the attraction's narration done by the skipper, there was no Jungle Cruise music to speak of for many years. In fact, until the early 1990s, the queue for the Jungle Cruise could hardly even be described as themed. The boathouses didn't boast much of anything apart from a place to hide from the sun while you waited to board your tramp steamer and such. In the early 90s, the first props arrived at the Walt Disney World version of the attraction, things like the dispatch office. Along with this theming, Walt Disney World's Jungle Cruise received a boathouse music cue loop. The idea of this music was, as you waited to board your cruise, you were listening to a radio station at some far-flung jungle outpost. In Disney World, this musical broadcast was called AWOL Airwaves. Albert AWOL, your 1930s disc jockey, plays an assortment of late 1920s and 1930s jazz and swing music, peppered with helpful announcements for jungle goers that are full of puns and gags. Take a listen to Albert AWOL, the voice of the jungle, broadcasting on the DBC, or the Disney Broadcasting Company, number 3.
This is Skipper Albert AWOL, the voice of the jungle, broadcasting on the DBC to all points unknown. If you're within the sound of my voice, you're listening to AWOL Airwaves on the DBC.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's very Disneyland.
It's very Disneyland, and it was a really cool, it's a really cool addition. It's one of my favorite parts of the Jungle Cruise is the queue for that. For, I mean, you can look at all the artifacts, but you know, hearing that kind of stuff, like the music that they're playing and everything, it was a really nice touch.
I have a question. Do you prefer to stand in line for the Jungle Cruise or to ride the Jungle Cruise?
Let's stand in line for the Jungle Cruise. Yeah.
So weird.
100%.
Yeah, that's peculiar.
Yeah. Well, that's my name. Peculiar Jones is what they called me in high school.
Even Albert AWOL's name is a joke. AWOL, of course, is a pun on the acronym AWOL, which stands for Absent Without Leave. The joke here is that the incompetent and reckless employees of the Jungle Navigation Company are reliant on a radio broadcast, which is by its name alone, absent. This gag is heightened upon realization that while the broadcast is supposedly vital for the operations of skippers, AWOL Airwaves is never heard on the actual Jungle Cruise boats, meaning the skippers in the ride are either unable or unwilling to tune in. Even a joke in there. The selections for the approximately 1 hour long music loop played by AWOL include tracks by well-known artists such as Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, but also more obscure acts like the Jack Hilton Orchestra and Ida Sue McCune, number 4.
When that tap section started in the last, it sounded like she was just like taking bubble wrap and just twisting it. That's all I could think of was like some vaudeville act somehow had bubble wrap and was like, hey, check this one out.
Right.
I kind of like that addition to it. At first I was like, oh, that's weird. Oh, no, I like it.
Yeah.
It kept going.
It was cool.
So that was 4 tracks. It started off with Jeepers Creepers by Louis Armstrong. Then we heard Harlem River Quiver by Duke Ellington.
Ooh.
The third one was The King's Horses by Jack Hilton and his orchestra, and Ida Sue McCune closed it out singing Love Is and Is Good for Anything That Ails You, which I love.
Aww.
Tapping away. With the opening of a restaurant called the Skipper Canteen. I don't know if have you been to the Skipper Canteen, or was that not there when you went?
When did we go? 2015?
Yeah.
I have no idea when it opened.
Oh, we did not go. We went to Jacques Hanger Bar, but that's all we went to.
Oh, okay. Well, the Skipper Canteen is a little eatery, just a little ways away from the Jungle Cruise, and it's sort of where this you're waited on by skippers.
Oh, geez. I would never go. I would never go there. Sorry.
I want to go there.
I know. It sounds fun.
It's cool.
Okay.
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 Well, with the opening of the Skipper Canteen, we learned that Albert AWOL is not only a radio broadcaster, but a published author. AWOL's book, The Illustrated Guide to Radio Broadcasting, can be seen in the library of the Skipper Canteen.
Nice.
Over in Disneyland, the Jungle Cruise received an update from 1993 to 1994. At this time, the ride was temporarily closed so the river could be rerouted to accommodate the forthcoming Indiana Jones attraction. In order to create a cohesive storyline between the two adjacent attractions, Disneyland's Jungle Cruise was given an exact year that it existed, which is 1938, to align itself with the Indiana Jones attraction.
Interesting.
The Magic Kingdoms is more just loosely based in the 30s, but Disneyland is solidly parked in 1938.
Okay.
Disneyland's audio loop distinguishes itself both musically and as a broadcast. Rather than Albert AWOL broadcasting on the DBC, Disneyland's attraction is tuned into the Global Broadcasting Service. Here, broadcaster Nigel Greenwater makes deadpan puns instead of the slightly sillier tone of Albert AWOL in Florida, and also at times makes references to the neighboring attraction, Indiana Jones, number 5.
This just in. A Jungle Cruise skipper reports spotting the lost safari near the African veldt. As you may recall, this safari has remained missing longer, yet had more sightings than any other in history. Locally, aeroplane pilots are cautioned about landing in Settlers Field. Recent rains have created rather large bogs, which have attracted the attention of local water buffalo. Pilots should carefully review conditions before either taking off or landing.
Cool. I hate puns, man. I really do. As a dad, I feel that's sacrilegious. Is that chime? Is that the chime on, like, Soarin'? I feel like this is like used in another.
Oh, it does sound familiar.
Right?
Well, there's a chime in Star Tours.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
It does sound like that.
Is it the same chime?
I have no idea. Or like, did they reverse it or something?
Yeah,
like,
it sounds similar. It doesn't sound the same.
Because in Star Tours, when they do the announcements for the next thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I wonder if they're related. Look at you. What a crack investigator.
Star Tours. Yeah, this it does just sound. In. Huh. Cool.
I'm going to find that. I'm going to look it up.
It used to be your, like, text message tone.
No, it was different.
Oh. It used to be my text message tone.
You just want to be included.
The global broadcast service in Disneyland broadcasts an assortment of music that's at times a bit slower, more mysterious, and leans more heavily into swing instead of the jazz that dominates Walt Disney World's music. Here, the music is meant to more directly evoke the feelings of 1938 specifically, and features such tracks as Time Goes by Adelaide Hall, Sing, 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 written by Louis Prima and famously performed here by Benny Goodman, and Moon Over Burma by Dorothy L'Amour, as well as Moonlight Serenade, which you'll, of course, recognize by Glenn Miller, among several others, number 6.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
Mm-hmm. smiling above. They say that you are the wonderful goddess of love.
Classic. Classic.
Classic.
First of all, how dare you? Here is the Star Tours chime. So not the same. And this is the other one.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but they're in the same vein.
Yeah. Well, in, apparently that's there's like a new one and an old one. Here's here it is.
Not the same.
That's the new one.
Oh, yeah. That's the new Star Tours one.
And that's the new outro of the thing. And that's the old outro, apparently. According to the internet. Who knows? Anyway, sorry. I had to investigate. I was wrong.
So we just heard Moonlight Serenade. That's the one you said was classic. It should be mentioned that Moonlight Serenade, technically speaking, has absolutely no business being played in an area meant to specifically evoke the year 1938.
Uh-oh.
As the first recording of this song wasn't released until May of 1939.
Whoa, yikes. Dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
Though
now.
The song was adapted from a 1935 song called Now I Lay Me Down to Weep.
Jeez. I feel like the mid-30s were just terrible. I mean, it's the, you know, it's like lead up to the war, I guess, but like, I don't know, man.
It was the Great Depression.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Now I lay me down to just utterly cry. It sounds like a Cure song.
Also, Moon Over Burma didn't come out until 1940. So it's 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Too late for Disney Jungle Cruise. So a little creative license being taken by these Imagineers.
Apparently.
Again.
Where's the reality?
Yeah. I thought they were supposed to be so exacting with everything.
It's like in Primeval World where they have like the Tyrannosaurus and the like the dodecahedron or whatever. And they don't, they're like, they miss each other by like 5 million years, but they're battling. And I know dodecahedron is not a dinosaur, but it's just a funny joke. I could be a Jungle Cruise skipper.
If you hadn't said that, I would have.
I know.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Fair.
Nigel Greenwater's broadcast on the Global Broadcasting Service is often and comically interrupted by shortwave radio transmissions back and forth between Jungle Cruise skippers who are out there on the waters. Their timing is often less than ideal. Number 7.
The Global Broadcasting Service, serving remote outposts since 1928. And now, a musical interlude.
Jungle Cruise Base is in Ranco Bugle. We are running ground just south of Manaus. All hands are fine. We will wait till the tide change. Over.
This is Jack. Hey, look, you know that shipment of tea? We ran into a whole pool of hippos and upset the boat. We're doing fine, but those hippos got the last of the Earl Grey. Looks like Mrs. Haversham's gonna be disappointed.
Attention, all boats on the Irrawaddy near Mandalay. This is a colonial portmaster. There have been reports of some disturbances in your area. Please travel with caution.
This just in. A Jungle Cruise skipper reports spotting the lost safari near the African veldt. As you may recall, this...
There you go.
It's a little back and forth with the Jungle Cruise skippers peppered in there. In 2009, Weird Al Yankovic wrote a song called Skipper Dan.
What?
Really? I did not know this.
Jason loves Weird Al.
I like him a fair bit.
Oh, of course you do.
So come on. Ham.
You know, I'm fat. Come, you know, ham on whole wheat. I mean, come on. That's funny. But the backside of water makes me want to stick my head in a light socket.
Did you notice earlier I don't think we talked about it. He doesn't call it, you know, the pun or the joke now is Schweitzer Falls, mm-hmm. named after Albert Falls.
Albert Falls, yeah.
Yeah.
But in that dialogue, so in 1968, they were still saying Schweitzer.
They didn't call it Falls. In the intro? In the first one?
The one you played earlier.
Yeah.
Ravenscroft.
Yeah.
I did notice.
He said it's, you know, named after Dr. Albert Schweitzer. There's no joke into it.
Really? I didn't catch that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, you guys are smarter than us. Should we play it again?
And then later on when he goes, when he circles back around in his dialogue, he doesn't mention the backside of water. Mm-hmm. So there's, his puns are there. It still had, even in 1968, it still carried a serious tone.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, there were jokes, there were some small puns, but it wasn't absolutely riddled. So people, see? I think it was like, it was a long evolution of that getting to where it is today.
Yeah, too long.
Like, I don't think in 1962 Mark Davis updated it and it was suddenly full of jokes. Like, it was a slow, I think it just started to make itself a bit less serious as time went on.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I feel like the early times of Disney, the early first 15 years or whatever, you're getting a lot of theater kids, a lot of theater people who, in some of these rides, you have to be on. And so you sort of just like change it. I was reading actually in Dave Land web on Dave's site. And there was like a story about how, I think it was him even, who used to work the mine train through Nature's Wonderland or whatever, which sounds like an Oasis album. And he was like, they had a recorded spiel, but we just decided to do it on our own live. And then they could do other stuff with it. So I think even, and that was 68, I think too, is when this specifically was talking about. So I feel like you just sort of have these people who are used to improvising, or maybe it didn't matter as much. Maybe show didn't matter so much as much as it does now. So you could sort of evolve, and then maybe the Imagineers are like, well, this kind of works. We like this feedback.
Huh.
Let's work this in. Which is a sign of a good manager. If you're, even if you're like goofing off at work, you don't have to be in trouble all the time. You could like, it could be absorbed into whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Well, along those lines, you know, you said theater kids. Weird Al Yankovic's Skipper Dan song is about a failed actor who works as a Jungle Cruise skipper.
All of them.
I'm a tour guide on the Jungle Cruise ride. Skipper Dan is the name. And I'm doing 34 shows every day. Every time it's the same. Look at those hippos, they're wiggling their ears. Just like they've done for the last 50 years. Now I'm laughing at my own jokes, but I'm crying inside. Cause I'm working on the Jungle Cruise ride.
Yeah.
It sounds like, and I imagine it intentionally sounds like Weezer.
Probably.
Yeah, I was going to ask what song that's a spoof of.
I don't think it's a spoof of a song, actually. I think
that's his thing. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you knew that about Weird Al, but that's his thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, while Weird Al has poked fun at the Jungle Cruise and its skippers, it should be noted that several successful people have actually worked on the Jungle Cruise once upon a time, such as Ron Ziegler, who was Richard Nixon's press secretary.
I find that very funny. I don't know why.
Kevin Costner was a Jungle Cruise skipper, as well as John Lasseter.
Kevin Costner was a Jungle Cruise skipper.
Yeah.
I bet he was not very funny.
Well,
old Lasseter.
So John Lasseter, in fact, in July of 2018, Disney released a book about the Jungle Cruise called Disney Parks Presents the Jungle Cruise. And it included a CD audio ride through with John Lasseter reprising his role as the skipper. So move over, Thurl Ravenscroft. Lasseter is here to narrate and be our Jungle Cruise skipper. Lasseter had resigned from the company just a month prior to the book's release after accusations of misconduct in the workplace that included grabbing, kissing, and making comments about physical attributes, according to complaints. Take a listen to John Lasseter as your Jungle Cruise skipper, number 9. 'Cause of course, I bought it.
Hey, Skipper John, while we're boarding, why don't you give us one of your world-famous knock-knock jokes?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Safari.
Safari uh-huh. Who?
Safari's so good.
Oh, yeah. These are the jokes, folks.
Oh, it's such a...
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome aboard the world-famous Jungle Cruise. My name is John, but you can call me John. And for the next 2.5 weeks, I'll be your Jungle Cruise skipper, lion tamer, film director, Hawaiian shirt enthusiast, toy collector, and if you don't laugh at my jokes, swim instructor. Don't worry, if it's crowded now, there'll be lots of room on the way back. Let's all turn and take one last look at the dock. We may never see it again.
So what's funny about that book is that Disneyland started creating a lot of those. There's a Haunted Mansion one. They're kind of like in the style of like a children's book almost. Like, so there's a Haunted Mansion one. There's one that's Marvel.
Mm-hmm. There's a Haunted Mansion.
Shut up.
I can't.
And a Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a few of them. And when we bought the Haunted Mansion one at Disneyland, the cashier was like, oh, there's actually a Jungle Cruise one. But and I was like, oh, that's cool, because we're trying to collect them for Alice. And she was like, yeah, but you have to get it on Amazon. And I was like, okay, like, that's weird. I guess they're like not selling them here.
Yeah.
And so when I got it and I saw John Lasseter's name, I was like, oh, that guy has been canceled at Disneyland. So you can't get that book there.
Good. But you can sure go see Cars Land, tell you that much right now.
And Pixar Pier.
Yeah.
I was never a Lasseter fan. I remember going to like D23 or whatever that thing is, and it's like, here's all of his Hawaiian shirts.
Oh my God, who cares?
Well, this is the thing, and he even mentions it there. He's like, you're a Hawaiian shirt enthusiast. And you know, talk about substituting things for a personality. Like, that is not... Liking Hawaiian shirts is not a personality trait.
That's true. Okay? I have some Hawaiian shirts. I like them. I would never list that in my bio. And also, if you remembered, he said a Hawaiian shirt enthusiast. Not enthusiast, enthusiast, which I feel like in light of his allegations, probably not the best thing to say. Also,
no, he didn't. Did he?
Do you really want to play it again?
No, please, God, don't.
Yeah. He did, yeah, for sure. Enthusiast.
But he's not even good at being a Jungle Cruise skipper.
No.
Like, that was terrible.
It was bad. I mean, and, but that was him really at, like, bad. 45 or 50 or whatever, like, reprising his role. But, yeah, so I kept thinking, too, it's like, there's no emotion here.
Some of those jokes I have laughed at in real life when I've been told them by a real Jungle Cruise skipper, but then to hear him do it, it sounds so... It's also just, like, so Disney to, like, really make it so overly polished. And that mm-hmm. girl in the beginning who's like,
yeah,
these are the jokes, guys.
This
is terrible. Hey,
tell me one of your world-famous knock-knock jokes.
Well, and just, like, that whole beginning part, though, their interaction, given what we know now, just sounded mm-hmm. incredibly creepy to me. Mm-hmm.
Knock, knock, who's creepy. There? My hand on your knee.
Yeah, it's a rough listen.
Yeah.
And I bought it because I wanted to put it on Spectral Radio. But I was like, this is awful. No one wants bad, to listen dude, to
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
You should have like a reject hour where you just play this show and then like things that you would never play normally.
Dang.
Like Yanni.
I play plenty of Yanni at all times. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Anyhow, that is the music of the Jungle Cruise.
Wow.
Good job.
I love it.
Yeah, and if you're a patron of Spectral Radio, I'll be posting a complete list of the area music with all of the albums. So if you're a patron and you want to go and download those yourself and own the whole collection, you can.
Oh, I'll be sure to do that. And then I'll replay them here.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't know. Whatever.
It's a nice set of music.
Splendor
the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill...
The comedy! I mean, honestly, even this voiceover is sort of cheesy as hell. Life. The comedy!
It's Jiminy Cricket.
I know. I don't like Jiminy Cricket. He
you
creeps me
don't?
Out. No, he creeps me out.
Why?
He's so cute.
I don't know. He just does. He just
He's
creeps
great.
Me out.
And now,
the Magic Kingdom. The Magic Kingdom.
In a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
It just sounds, I guess I just picture, because it doesn't sound like Jiminy Cricket. Obviously, it's not the real Jiminy Cricket, right? Because he doesn't exist. But it just, when it's like the different person, I just imagine what the guy looks like in the voiceover booth doing, and now in 1,000 points of Disney light. Like, I don't know, just, that's me though.
See,
sorry.
I think that this is actually a very convincing copy of...
It is very convincing, but...
Cliff Edwards.
I'm a trained radio podcast producer, so I know, a thing or two.
Sure.
Shut up.
Oh, God.
Anyway, good job, Jeremy. I like that one. As much as I don't like that ride, I like the music of it. That's
great.
Sure.
It's pretty impressive though, because there's really not that much music,
right?
Yeah.
And I did not expect to hear a Weird Al song.
Same.
So,
yeah, that was the bonus.
Yes.
Yeah, Taryn. Well, I don't think he did all parodies. I think he wrote actually Michael Jackson. Little known fact: Michael Jackson took the music from Fat and turned it into Bad. So it was like a reverse thing. Did you know that?
That did not happen.
No.
That didn't, no.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. It's Ears Up.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Gee, sorry guys, but that guy bought 14 churros. I'm all sold out.
And now, back to the show.
In the past, present, and future with all the news that's fit to cover. It's the Ears Up Disney News.
All right, whatever. Not a whole lot in Disney News territory today. But, you know, we got some stuff to talk about. How about Disneyland's upcoming Spider-Man ride is going to be even more interactive than we thought.
Where is it going?
It's in... Adventures Campus.
Yeah, but like where? Where does it fit?
In Adventures Campus. I don't know. I don't know like the exact layout or whatever, but it's in Adventures Campus in DCA. This place says Disneyland just to get you to click on it. It's not Disneyland. Okay.
I knew that. I'm all just right, trying whatever. To figure out like is it an indoor ride? Like I remember we talked about it. But I just don't really
know. No, indoor is from the Star Wars universe. It's not an indoor ride.
Not Endor.
Oh my God.
Oh, I get it. All right. The big new attraction that will open along with the new land is called Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure, and it will allow guests to live out their dreams of being Spider-Man by using web shooters to take out an army of rampaging spider bots. However, it turns out that for those guests, willing to spend a little money, you can do a lot more. This is interesting. At its core, Web Slingers appears to be a next generation version of Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters or Toy Story Midway Mania, okay, where guests take aim at targets. But in this time, instead of using a toy blaster or pop gun, the ride will be able to recognize guests' own arm movements so they can shoot webs themselves. What? However, Disneyland has now revealed a collection of special merchandise which can actually be linked with the ride and give guests special abilities they can use while on board. The core device, I don't know how I feel about this. The core device is called a web power band, and it resembles a classic Spider-Man web shooter, though a fairly large version. Using a standard power band on the attraction will give you the ability to fire multiple webs at once. Then one can add web tech add-ons to the power band that will give you still more additional abilities not available to everyone else. Wow. In the video game world, this is called pay to win. And it literally, companies have been sued over dumb stuff like this. So it's like, it's not a, it's just weird. For added Spider-Man abilities, one can add electrodynamic webs, which also come in a ghost spider variety. However, if you don't really want to be Spider-Man at all, you can basically become Iron Man or rescue Paw Patrol. I don't know what that means. With a repulsor blast option. That's what all the girls I went to high school with had when I would talk to them. All the web shooters have standard modes as well, so they can be used as toys outside the ride as well. Okay, good writing. They light up, make noise, and do other things that are liable to drive the people you live with crazy. That's very funny. Anyway, there you go. We don't have pricing on it, but that's what's going to happen. So you can buy toys to use on the ride, which is a cool concept, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, why not?
Interesting.
Whatever. Who cares? I love it.
Oh, you love it?
Yeah, I love it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
You see that dime? Because my opinion's going to change on it.
Oh, geez.
I'm a Jungle Cruise skipper, guys.
There you go. I think it sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
I do like those kinds of rides. And I don't understand, like, I think it's cool that they're going to be able to use your hands.
Yeah, where there's no, like grubby thing to touch, you know?
That's interesting.
I'm up with that.
That's some crazy technology.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy technology, Tuesday's announcement that Orange County has met the requirements to move from orange to the yellow tier was good news, apparently, thanks to the vaccine that we're rolling out here in the old city of Compton. I don't know. Initially, officials thought they had to wait 48 hours, but that rule has been dropped, and they are confirmed they could reopen in the yellow tier on Wednesday. This is businesses within Orange County, I guess. It's unclear why there was confusion on this tier movement when Orange County has made two similar moves in the past. Whatever, who cares? That's really cool, you know, detail that we need. In any case, the county will allow businesses to loosen restrictions starting Wednesday, which is today, and that means that Disneyland could increase capacity by 40%.
Oh, interesting.
40% increase. So not 240%.
Right,
it sounds like
right.
To 65.
Well, I don't know if that's how that math works.
Oh, increase capacity by 40% of 20%?
I don't know.
Right.
This is like complex math that no one needs to do.
Yeah.
Can they just give us the number?
I know, right? This is how many thousands of people can come in at a time. I don't know. Yeah, so that's exciting. So there's going to be more people opening or hitting up Disneyland, so that's cool. I'm interested to see how the lines sort of reflect that. Curious.
Yeah. The one thing that I heard, and Jeremy has said this about Disney World as well, I think that the people that have gone it doesn't feel like it's 25% anyway.
Yeah. Jeremy's spoken on that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but they're saying that at Disneyland as well.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah,
for sure. So, I mean, it can't be because you can't be in the line, so you're on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just not enough things that eat up people. Like restaurants are closed. There's not as many places to go sit down. So you just don't have people being, you know, in places. So the other interesting thing that I learned is that it's like 25% of the park's capacity isn't based on like the fire capacity.
Mm.
It's like if they're not running Splash Mountain that day, the park's capacity is lower. So as more rides come online,
oh, wow.
they could still be at 25% and allow more people into the park. So if they open up another restaurant, now the park's capacity goes up by a certain amount because that restaurant can service people. So the hard number of people coming in goes up even if the percentage stays the same.
That makes a lot of sense.
So you're basically saying like if everything was closed for whatever reason, you could only let a certain number of people into the park.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so it fluctuates as rides come and, you know, open and close.
Wow. That's crazy. Speaking of crazy, I don't know how I feel about this. I need you guys to help me. I wonder if I should even play this audio. It's only a minute long. So you guys will put up with it.
Greetings, fear and fright lovers. I'm the great Gonzo.
And I'm Pepe the King Prong.
And we're here to tell you about our all-new terrifying tale of total scariness, Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Keeps me up.
This fall, prepare to experience your most hilarious and harrowing Halloween ever, Muppets Haunted Mansion.
How'd you do this?
Well, it's easy. Try it.
Muppets Haunted Mansion.
I think more oomph for you.
More oomph. Muppets Haunted Mansion.
I love Pepe.
Muppets Haunted Mansion.
You know, this is going to take a while.
Muppets Haunted Mansion.
We'll see you this fall on Disney Plus, Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Unbelievable! Muppets Haunted Mansion! Muppets Haunted Mansion!
Muppets Haunted Mansion.
That's what I said! Muppets Haunted Mansion!
Anyway, Muppets Haunted Mansion is coming to Disney Plus this fall for Halloween. I don't know how I feel about it. The Muppets' first ever Halloween special, Muppets Haunted Mansion, will feature the Muppets cast celebrity cameos, of course, and new music and spooky amusement for families to enjoy later this fall. Muppets Haunted Mansion will take place on Halloween night when Gonzo is challenged to spend one night in the Haunted Mansion.
That's cute.
It's very cute. I wonder why the push for the Muppets, considering they were unceremoniously ripped out by the root of the of DCA, and now DCA has lost the best and greatest ride in its park history. I don't understand. While it may be the Muppets' first stay at the Haunted Mansion, the iconic Disneyland ride has already taken center stage in 2003. Yeah, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. That is it. There's no other description other than here's the announcement, Muppets Haunted Mansion.
I like
it. So is the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay done?
No, it's a show on Disney Plus. It's like going to be like a one-off thing for Disney Plus.
I thought this was an overlay of the attraction in the park.
Oh. No. But you.
So did I for a second. I was like, what?
No. The Disney Plus. Yeah, I probably sped through the Disney Plus part of it. The interesting part of that, though, honestly, is so they got to shoot it pre-September because they change over to the to a Haunted Mansion Nightmare Before Christmas in September or late August, I think. So they got to be shooting it this summer. But
I think they already shot it. During COVID, when the park was closed.
They could have, for sure.
That's my guess.
Then you might be 100% correct. I don't know.
So what else were they doing?
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll be able to tell, because when we watch it in 6 months or whatever the math is, 5, 4, 2. Now,
five.
It's Halloween now. in 5 months, will it have the new additions that the park opened with or not?
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff. I don't know. I love the Muppets. I will give it a shot for sure. But
I mean, I thought at first that you were talking about a TV show, and I was like, that's just bad on both parts. But as a special, a one-time thing, sure, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it'll be great. It's the Muppets. I mean, they don't really ruin too much.
And if he has to spend the night in the Haunted Mansion, then it actually has to be filmed there, and that's cool.
Yeah. No, I'm weary about it. I'm excited about it. It'll be fine.
So the chat... Nick in the chat says that there's a rumor that there's no holiday overlay this year since it's been closed for so long.
Yeah, where didn't you get that rumor from, Nick? Is it from the park or is it from some dumb forum somewhere?
Yeah, I have not heard that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
We still got the Jingle Cruise overlay.
Oh, you do? I miss that.
Yeah, so I'm the reason I say it is because it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, COVID doesn't necessarily mean that overlays have to go away.
Yeah, for sure. That would make no sense. I mean, it's the park opened in April or basically May, and you transform it in August, and you just bring it back to the night. Just everything is the same.
I don't see why they wouldn't do it.
I don't see why they wouldn't do it either. So whatever dumb rumor site you find, Nick, destroy it. Hack into
it. Here's the thing, though.
Break it.
The reason Disneyland does all these things is to cater to their local crowd. Right? That's why they have to change it up, because people will get bored. Well, they don't have annual pass holders anymore.
That's right.
So maybe they don't need to do these overlays because it's not catering to a local crowd anymore.
Hmm. Well, it's still California only, though. So
yeah, but by Halloween.
Sure, but people still go. I don't know. Well, look, we'll find out. I don't know.
I'm just saying they told annual pass holders to take a hike, so they are not worried about that crowd anymore.
I would be willing to bet within the next 6 months we have some other indication of an annual pass program coming back.
Oh, yeah. They talked about it in the earnings call.
See? There you go. Oh, God, I'm so smart.
It's a pretty safe bet. They
I'm
announced
super
it.
Smart. Speaking of Jungle Cruise, just do a shameless plug. I've got this sign from Dr. Skipper Marley. He was on the show a couple years ago, I guess.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
And it's a Trader Sam's like Cannibal Cafe, and you know he has. So anyway, if you hit up his Etsy store, he has a lot of like reproduction signs like this from the Jungle Cruise, and this was like the least Jungle Cruise one because everything's like hippo warning or you know just the classic gags that everyone loves, and it's like that's not me. But anyway,
also cool. A tribute to Trader Sam.
Yeah, well, yeah. R.I.P. the realist.
Mr. P says that he thinks Josh Gad will be making an appearance in the Muppets special.
I hate that he's probably right.
I know, isn't it sick?
I totally agree.
Yeah, shut up, Mr. P. No one needs this. No one needs this negative energy, bro. All right? We don't need it. We were up here, and you just crashed the room, man. And I don't know why you would do that.
Dropping knowledge.
Yeah, sure. Well, no, he's dropping rumors.
Yeah, but that one's probably right.
Yeah, I know. I don't like it. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning into the show. I really appreciate it. We were going to get Dave rebooked from Dave Land Web. I had a bunch of questions for him. I was really excited to do the show. So I will check in and see what happened. I'm betting it's just something you know we can clear up, whether or not by sending him large amount of Bitcoin or you know figuring out a way to get him on the show. But it's good stuff either way. Jer, thanks very much. What's happening over on spectroradio.us?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Nothing.
All right.
No, I talked about it on in-depth. It's the this
no
month's special limited time Walt Disney World 50th show is The Real Symphonies of Illuminations. All of the little clips of classical music that formed Illuminations the original and Illuminations 98, I'm playing them for an hour every night at 7 p.m. But the full piece, the full symphony orchestra piece, so you can hear over the music behind the music.
Sounds good. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in. And until next time, we'll see you in the parks.